Welcome to Adult Sunday School. The text for our consideration is Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. On exhortation is the title of our Sunday school message. The word exhort in the original comes from a preposition which means to come alongside and the verb to call. Placed together, the word literally means to call someone to come alongside. It means to comfort or to help. Plumer observed well. He says, exhortation, conit to the verb, beseech in. It is a very general term and embraces almost every variety of comfort, of encouragement, and urgency to duty. This is a great gift, he observed. It involves comforting someone who is suffering from some physical affliction. Or someone who is suffering affliction physically, emotionally, or spiritually. It involves helping someone who is in some trouble with words of comfort, encouragement, and advice through prayer and God's word. It strengthens the faith of the recipient. Or he that exhorteth, the Apostle Paul says, on exhortation. When Job was afflicted, his three friends were miserable comforters, providing encouragement and comfort from God's word. They accused him of sinning against God. They accused him of sinning against God instead of providing encouragement and comfort from God's word. It cost Job to be more depressed, and what is worse, it misrepresented God. Bildad, one of Job's friends, used the name of God in vain, speaking with authority on behalf of God, albeit a false authority. His main line of argument is that Job has sinned, and therefore his affliction is God's punishment. So he says, Dost thou pervert judgment? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? If any children have sinned against him, or he have cast them away for their transgression, Job's children die because of their sins. Bildad insinuated. What evil counsel. If we were to take a peek at the end of the book in chapter 42, you realize that Job was restored all that he had. Double the cattle, double the camels. And you realize also that God gave him another 10 children. Not 20 children. And the reason is that he did not lose any of the 10 that went home to be with the Lord. God is no man's debtor, and he is faithful, for he is able to fulfill his word according to his promise. And Bildad, the friend of Job, was an admonition of hate, which we see when in perspective in chapter 42, verse 7, when God admonished Bildad through Eliphaz. Job chapter 42, verse 7 says, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, The Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. In the book of Acts, we observe the ministry of exhortation in perspective when the Apostle Paul and his companions Barnabas make many frequent trips to encourage the brethren in the church, which they visited before to strengthen their faith. Acts 14, 21 to 22 says, And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. May God bless His people as they strengthen the hand of one another through mutual exhortation in the Lord. There are those whom God would gift to bring a word of encouragement, whether you go to a visual service or whether you go and visit someone who is sick in the home, in the hospital. May the Lord use you to bring a good word of comfort, or to pray for the Lord's blessing and comfort upon such a distraught and afflicted soul. Paul also says, give with simplicity. He that giveth, Romans 12 verse 8 says, let him do it with simplicity. The word simplicity is a moral trait, describing purity of motive. It is an openness and sincerity in sharing with others. It means generosity, liberality. The church in Jerusalem after Pentecost demonstrated such a spirit. Acts 2 verse 44 to 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. There was also much joy and peace amongst the believers because they shared God's love one with another through their care one with another. Acts 2 verse 46 to 47. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The word gladness means great joy, and singleness of heart describes sincerity, simplicity, humility. It was an irresistible, wonderful fellowship because each one was loving the other, willing to serve sacrificially. The care was genuine. Genuine care and concern amongst God's people. This was the wonderful testimony that is a joy to behold. Unbelievers saw a difference. God blessed them with others added to the church. Praise God for the gift of giving. The Apostle Paul reminded the church in Ephesus of the special blessing for the giver. Acts 20 verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to receive, to give than to receive. How is it that when we give, we seem to have lost something? What we have, we give away. How can that loss be accounted for a blessing? Well, this is the divine equation that God wants us to learn, and we learn this by faith, by actually doing and trusting God. And by faith, we are able to understand the blessing that God bestows upon the giver to bless another person. The man who in who started the company that sells the toothpaste Colgate. Well, that's his name. He began with giving 10% of his tithe to the Lord and trusting God to help him as he serves God in this business that he has started, and how the Lord prospered his business. The business grew from strength to strength, and he was able to give 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%. And still he says, I have more than enough. The Lord has blessed me. He has learned the blessing of giving. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And he has understood that. The man who started Quaker Oaks, a household name, how he was a weak man when he was young, and God enabled him to have a small mill and to start this business, milling oats, and how that business grew. Well, he understood that it is of God, and he tithed regularly, consistently, and how the Lord blessed him, and the Lord grant him to understand how it is more blessed to give than to receive, and how he continued to give liberally, and how the Lord prospered the work, the honest work that he did in that company, which is today still a household name. Romans 12 verse 8 says, he that ruleth with diligence. The word rule consists of the word the verb to stand and the preposition to before or over. It means to preside over, hence to rule, to exercise spiritual leadership. This are to do so with diligence. The word diligence means with haste, earnestness. Solomon's words in Proverbs 27:23 is a good paraphrase of our text. It says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. Charles Bridges said, well, this declareth the great goodness of God towards men and the diligence that he requireth of him for the preservation of his gifts. It is a lively picture of the occupations, advantages, and responsibilities of rural life in olden days. It is especially appropriate to a nation whose chief riches were in its early origin in pastures and flocks. Their father, Jacob, admirably exemplified this rule. He knew well the state of his flocks and herds. You remember, Jacob was helping his uncle Laban with the flock, and how God multiplied the flock. Even King David, mindful of his ancient employ, deemed a pastoral charge no degradation to his royal dignity. The rule inculcates personal attention. God is glorified by a single eye and purpose in every station by the laborer, the farmer, the servant is no less than his master. We must serve in fervency of spirit. Colossians 3:22-24. And the instruction to the kings of Israel was that they are to spend time in the diligent study of God's word and not be distracted, that God's fear may continually be in their hearts, and that they may not stumble to carry out, they may be humble, and they may not stumble to carry out the instructions of God's word for the spiritual prosperity of the nation. Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 to 20 says this, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. May God raise diligent leaders for the care of God's people, and this man would be a man of the word, that they would take time to imbibe the word in their lives. They read all the word all the days of their life, that they may learn to fear the Lord and his God, and to keep all the words of his law and the statutes, and to do them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, to the end that he may prolong in his days in the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, Romans 12 verse 8, that's at the last part, showing mercy. Jesus teaches us the blessing of showing mercy to others. In Matthew 5 verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful. The merciful are compassionate, benevolently merciful, involving both thought and action. And those who obtain mercy are those who are freed from deserved punishment. It is the outworking of God's love in one's heart. Very often, we fail to show mercy to others because of the wickedness they have done. And therefore, we feel that they do not deserve mercy. That may be so. Yet, this character trait of Christian benevolence see beyond the man and his sins. It is designed to touch the heart by withholding the deserved punishment in order to jot the recipient to repentance. You recall the account of the woman who was taken in adultery, recorded in John chapter 8 and verse 1 all the way to verse 11. Our Lord described, in that John described how the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman taken in adultery, and they set her in the midst and said to Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And the law of Moses commanded us that she should be stoned. What do you say? And they tempting him that they might accuse him. Well, there Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Verse 7, and so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And verse 9 says, and they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, God convicted their conscience. Christ, by the Spirit of God, convicted everyone of them who was there, so that their conscience were guilty. And beginning at the elders, even at the last, they all went away. How the Word of God, the God has power by the Holy Spirit to convict the conscience and to show the men who were there, the Pharisees, the scribes, and others, how they too were guilty. And therefore, with their heart convicting them, they would not hold a stone to kill the woman. So they all left, and Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman and said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How the Lord was merciful. He did not condemn the woman, but rather he caused that her conscience would be awakened, and the fact that she was shown mercy caused her to realize the sinfulness of her ways. And so the accusers left. Jesus asks that question, Where are thy accusers? Well, she was jolted to repentance. The punishment was withheld. Although she was guilty, God's mercy was upon her. The act of dispensing mercy is to be done with cheerfulness. William MacDonald gave this testimony. A Christian lady once said, When her mother became old and needed someone to care for her, my husband and I invited her to come and live with us. I did all I could to make her comfortable. I cooked for her, did her washing, took her out in the car, and generally cared for all her needs. But while I was going through the motion outwardly, I was unhappy inside. Unconsciously, I resented the interruption of our usual schedule. Sometimes my mother would say to me, You never smile anymore. Why don't you ever smile? You see, I was showing mercy, but I wasn't doing it with cheerfulness. The Lord commanded, He that showeth mercy is to do so with cheerfulness, a willing heart. Jonathan Goforth, the missionary to China, is a good practitioner of this Christian trait of showing mercy to others by giving them the gospel. There was this song that touched his heart. Lord crucified, give me a heart like thine. Give me a heart, teach me to love the dying souls of men. And keep my heart in closest touch with thee, and give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee. May the Lord bless us with Jesus' heart. Amen.